What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps? You got this! And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Hey, I'm Cameron Stewart from huntinggeardeals.com today to bring you another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm going to be joined by Brett Russell to talk about Goat Gear. Goat Gear is a brand new outdoors company that specializes in hunting clothing, and they're just getting started. So we get to dive in deep for all the hard work that he's put in for the last 2 years to get this company off the ground. And the coolest part, his website just went live and he's starting to take orders. So you get firsthand information from the one-man band, Brett. So without further ado, let's listen to the show. Hey guys, today I'm joined by Brett Russell from Goat Gear. Welcome to the podcast.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey man, thanks for joining us. So I'm excited to talk to you because we get the first chance look at a new clothing company from the ground up. And I'm talking to the right person because you are the foundation of this company. You're the one-man band, right?
I guess. Yeah. Me and God, I guess. He's kind of helped me out, I think. So I got another partner in the deal. So
There you go, man. Can't go wrong there. So let's talk about goat gear. What is it first, and where did the idea come from?
Oh, man, that's a story. I mean, so I suppose like any kid who grew up in the outdoors, I remember I wanted to be on TV and make a living in the hunting space. And I produced waterfowl DVDs early on. And I always wanted to design my own camo. I don't know where that came from. Yeah, I don't know where those ideas come from. But I always thought it'd be cool to design your own camo. But as a kid, you never know how that's going to work out, and even if it's even possible. And so fast forward years later, here we are. We were in a position where a company actually approached me originally, and it was kind of a sponsorship. So I produce bow hunting films. Backcountry Bowhunter is kind of the brand that I've used to kind of push this now. And in the midst of the films and all that I do there, another company had approached me about wanting me to wear their camouflage patterns. So they're a company that makes camouflage patterns, and they license those patterns out. And they said, we don't really care what, you know, which specific brand you wear, as long as it has our camo pattern on it. So that's kind of what started the conversation. Well, at the time I was with Under Armour, and was happy with where I was at the time, but I thought, well, I'll at least entertain the conversation, because you know, never know what it might lead to. And so the conversation got started. Well, then they ended up sending me an email for basically a Zoom call to meet with the uppity ups in the company and talk more about this and what this partnership's going to look like. Well, when I got the email, I got the official email address, and it was the umbrella company that owns the smaller camouflage company. And as soon as I saw that, I knew who they were, and I'm like, oh, they're a company that actually makes a lot of clothing in this space already. They also make clothing in the tactical realm. They make clothing for a lot of different people. And I thought, so then the wheels started turning. And I got to thinking, I'm like, well, why don't we just look to make our own, like our own clothing line? And we'll design our own camo, not only design our own camo, but let's design our own clothes. So that's what started the whole process. And in the midst of that, they were completely for the idea, and they were going to give me 100% rein. But we never really worked out a deal as far as money-wise. It was mentioned that maybe I would get 10%, but they didn't know if that was gross or net or what. And there never was a contract in place. In the meantime, I started to design. I'm like, now that I think that it's even a possibility that this could happen, the wheels start turning and I'm like, I can't turn it off. So at 3 a.m, I wake up and I've got a new idea for a new design or whatever. And I just go to the computer to start designing, or I'm drawing this stuff out on paper and of what I want in a jacket or what I want in a pant. And I'm immediately running polls on Instagram, you know, asking my people, what do you guys want? Like at the end of the day, if I can't sell this stuff, if it's not gear that you want, then it's going to fail. So I better ask the consumer, what do you guys want? Like, you tell me what you want in gear and we'll make it. And so I just started running polls and asking them guys what they wanted and getting feedback. And in the meantime, I'm designing the stuff that they're wanting to build. So this has happened over a span of, I don't know how many months. Finally, I reached a point where I was kind of at a standstill and I didn't know how to move forward without this bigger company's help. So I'd reached out to them and said, hey, you know, where are we at with this? Is, you know, I need some help. There's things called a tech pack. So it's basically what it is. It's like a blueprint for clothing. So it tells the factory, you know, even like what kind of needle needs to be used for this particular cloth and the type of stitching. Like it's stupid in depth. Like, and I've learned a lot in the last couple of years. But so it's a very in-depth blueprint of how this garment needs to be put together and all of that. And I've got some, you know, later on, I may, hopefully, Lord willing, this company takes off, you know, some people may get to see some of the rough, even more raw stuff that nobody got to see even with Instagram. But, so I was at a point where I needed one of these blueprints basically for the garments that I've designed. So that way they can send this to the factory and the factory knows exactly all the measurements of everything and needles, whatever. Well, so I was reaching out to them and wasn't getting a response. And you got to keep in mind, this company is very, very big. Like they're doing lots of millions of dollars. In fact, they had just doubled their business with two of their clients. So I know they were overwhelmed with just their current workload. And in the meantime, this little project of mine was just kind of a side project for them. You know, and I knew where I fell on the totem pole. I'm not stupid. I realize this is just a little, this is the redheaded stepchild that they don't really care about right now. You know, it's just a fun thing for me. But for me, this was my baby. I mean, literally, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning with this thing. I'm going to bed late at night with this thing. Like, this is my baby. And so I'm pouring my heart and soul into this thing. And then, and one of the guy that I dealt the most with, he also had health conditions as well. And whenever you've got to fly out of state to go see a specialist for a week, it's more than just the common cold, you know? So I don't know what his health conditions were, but I know they weren't good. And so I know that also played a factor in it too, as far as his response time and his ability to get back with me and, you know, try to help this project to get further along, I guess. Well, in the meantime, I'm sitting here on idle and I'm like, man, I'm, you know, 2 days pass by, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, haven't heard, like, and I don't want to bug them. Like, I don't want to be the guy that bugs them either, because I realize they've got a lot on their plate and they're a much bigger fish in the game than I am. And, you know, so I'm like, so I'm just sitting by the same token, like, man, I want to get going on this thing. Like, we're wasting time. We're just burning up time. And so this is the honest God truth. I sat there, it was a Friday night. And keep in mind, I've been posting this stuff on Instagram in the meantime of this clothing company that is to come. And we laid there in bed, and I was just telling my wife, I said, man, I wish there was just some way I could just do this myself. Like, because then I wouldn't have to wait on a phone call or somebody to respond, or like, because I'm ready to go. Like, if I just knew where to go from here. And so that night we prayed, and I even prayed, you know, privately myself. And like, God, if there's a way, just let me know. Like, I don't, you know. So I woke up the next morning, Saturday morning, and no joke, I had a DM from a guy. His name's Jeff. Jeff, if you know who you are. And he sends me a message and said, man, I've been following your Instagram stories. He said, if I've been in the clothing space for 30 plus years, if there's anything I can do to help, just let me know. And I just
connected the dots for you.
You know, like, you know, I still, it's just, some things you just have to wonder if they're coincidence or not, you know? And so I was like, well, I don't know who this guy is, but I'll send him a DM back and try to get some more information. And next thing you know, we're exchanging phone numbers. And then we're having like a 2 hour long phone conversation. And I'm like, this guy basically does the exact same thing as this other company. I mean, he works for a different company. And obviously part of it too, I'm sure he wanted the business. Like, he wanted to make the clothes himself, you know, their company to make the clothes. But like he said, I just want to see you succeed, even if it's not with me. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. Like, not very many people are like that. You know, there's not,
right.
It can be a pretty cutthroat space. So whenever you get guys that they want to see you succeed, even if it's not with them, like, that's a pretty good dude. And so he just started giving me all this information, and he put me in touch with an individual, who could do these blueprints for clothing, and they're called tech packs. And so he put me in touch with some people that he knew that could do these for me. And so that's what started that process. And next thing you know, I've hired a guy out to do these tech packs for me. And now I send him my designs and send him different clothing pieces. And so now he builds these tech packs, and now I've got a tech pack, you know, and again, that's all costed money. But so then from there, it eventually then I've got to find a factory now. So then I just start. And again, it just, pieces. I met another individual. This is crazy. So another individual, he makes sportswear. And so I ended up speaking with this individual at another trade show, and had nothing to do with sportswear or anything. And he gives me a contact for a factory that he works with. And so I'm like, again, you just have to wonder how many of these things are coincidences, you know, and how many of these are God just kind of steering you maybe down a path that you should go. And we still don't know yet. We'll see what God's going to do with this. But so that's how I guess got started. So here I am doing it by myself now, and wouldn't have it any other way. Cause I have enjoyed the entire process of this whole ordeal. Just the learning curve, just learning everything. I've just been a sponge for the last 2 years, and there's still so much I don't know. But it has been an absolute blast. If I could do this full time, it'd be pretty stinking cool. And I mean, I have been for, let's see, since September, I have been doing this full time. Not making any money at it yet, because like I said, we literally just went live with the website this morning. And we've been to a couple trade shows. We just launched it here in the last month or so. But luckily, we were in a position where we had the money, and we were actually in a place where we were going to buy some land. It was either buy land or start a clothing company. And here we are. So...
Well, when the time comes to buying land, I think I can help with that, with the Whitetail Property stuff.
There you go. There you go.
But man, it sounds like all of this, from the seed was planted as a child that, hey, I've got a dream and an ambition to do something, and you found a way to do that. And trying to connect those dots to build this from, and I assume it's being constructed overseas, or is it built in the United States?
Overseas, yep.
Yeah. So even the communication between here and there, you're probably not communicating with people at 8 a.m. It's probably like 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, stuff like that. So it makes it way more difficult to do this by yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, as far as, it's funny though, the community, now there's times where it can kind of get frustrating. Initially starting out, I remember I went on a fishing trip. This is kind of a rabbit hole here, but I went on a fishing trip. My dad took me down to Mexico on a fishing trip, and nobody there spoke a lick of English whatsoever. The one other than a guy, real, he could say real, and that's about it. Like, we had a fish on, he could say real. But I love some of those adventures, because even trying to communicate with somebody who doesn't speak English, it's like there's a common goal. And our common goal is to catch it. We're going down there to catch Dorados. So our common goal is to catch Big Dorado. Like, and even though he doesn't speak a lick of English and I don't speak a lick of Spanish, we both know that we're here for the common goal. And we know that this particular fish, whatever you call it, I call it a Dorado. I forgot what they call it, but that's what we're after. And it's in the midst of, you know, using hand signals and, you know, pointing at different lures. And, you know, like, to me, that's part of the adventure and part of the fun. And working with these factories has been the same thing. Now, they do speak a little bit more English than what our guide did down on that fishing trip. But even then, it's broken English. So you're, you know, you're trying to relay that information. Now I will say there has been times where some of that's been frustrating. But for the most part, it's been kind of enjoyable to try to, because again, they want my clothing to also succeed, because they know that they're going to get more orders and that's going to give their, you know, their factory more work and whatever. So again, we still have a common goal, and we want to produce the best hunting clothing that we can possibly produce, because it's only going to work best for both of us. So that's the common goal, is we want the best clothing we can, and they're not necessarily hunters. So they have to rely on my expertise in the field and know, you know, this fabric isn't going to work for the particular application that we want it for, you know? So they'll send me a bunch of fabrics that they think might be good. And I'm like, no, this fabric isn't good. This isn't something that we want, at least not for this piece that we're trying to build now. And so then now they're starting to get an idea of, okay, these are more the fabrics he's looking for. And so they find the fabrics and they send them to me and I test them out. And so all of that has been a lot of fun. And now, like I said, now we get to see it, you know, come full swing. And now we've actually got official products, still not nearly as many as what we want to have, but it's what we've started with. And, yeah, we'll see how big this thing gets, I guess.
Yeah, so let's kind of talk a little bit about the products and like how you're figuring out what works best. I know you did the kind of polling everybody on Instagram, and I was a part of that at some point in time. That's how I've came to kind of follow this journey that you're on. But the cold gear base layer, the Arctic, that seems to be a more unique design for cold weather base layers, and it looks like it's extremely warm.
Yeah.
So let's kind of talk about like where that came from.
So I mean, I've bought all the company's gear. Like, so in the midst of pulling, guys would send me DMs like, hey, have you ever seen this pant? You know, whether, and I don't, you know, I don't know if I should mention companies, but I mean, everybody knows the companies that are out there, the big companies. And so I'm like, tell me about this pant. And they'd give me feedback on this pant. Like, yeah, I really like this pant. This, you know, the fits here, whatever. So I would go out and I would buy these particular articles of clothing. So I own every brand there is. I can promise you that. And so then I'd lay these things out on my floor and be like, okay, which fabrics do I like? And I had local hunting guys that are in the field every day, come by and be like, hey, I want you. And I'd like literally tell them, close your eyes. I want you to feel these fabrics, because I didn't want them to be swayed by a logo or a camouflage pattern. Because obviously, guys that know their 100%. Stuff, they know what the camouflage pattern is, and they know who makes it. So I'd have them close their eyes, and then I would just have them feel this pant. Like, which pant feels the best to you? Which one do you think is going to hold up the best, just based off of the feel alone? And so they'd go down and they'd feel it, and I'm just making notes on this stuff. And then they'd try them on. I'm like, okay, which pant, you know, like, give me an unbiased opinion. Don't give me a brainwashing just because you're dedicated to one brand. Like, give me honest feedback, because I want to build the best thing possible. So that was some feedback that went into this. Another thing is these factories would send me all kinds of clothing. So I would also send them clothing too. And I'd say, hey, here's kind of something similar that we're looking at. Can you find a similar fabric or whatever? So they would get with their fabric trader and they would basically get a bunch of fabrics and they'd send it to me. And then I would go and they give you little square fabrics about this big. So it's, they don't give you much, but it's enough to at least feel with your fingers. It's like, okay, well, let's try fabric 3, number 7, and number 13. Let's make a jacket out of those three and let's see how those perform. And so then I get the jacket in. And again, keep in mind, it doesn't happen overnight. This is a long process.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So I end up getting the three different jackets in, trying them on, fitting them. Okay, this one's got some stretch. This one doesn't have stretch. This one, you know, so you're just working through the process and testing these things out. Then you take them to the field and you're shooting your bow. You're, you know, doing every all the movements that you would do as a hunter. You know, testing out the waterproof. Of course, they know which fabrics are waterproof, which aren't, which are windproof, whatever. So then you just start making a list of, okay, I like the certain qualities this fabric has. This fabric has different qualities. You know, they all have different qualities and different capabilities. So you're just making note. You know, for example, our Ibex puffy jacket, whenever you get into the windproof and waterproof fabrics, you start to get into your noisy fabrics.
Yep.
So as a bow hunter, I've got to have quiet stuff. I don't want to be drawn down on an animal and he hears my jacket and then looks up and pegs me in a tree. So I've got to have quiet stuff, but there is no perfect fabric out there. So when you start to get into your quiet fabrics, now you're having to give up something. You're having to give either waterproofness or windproofness. And so which one do you want? So with our Ibex puffy jacket, I had to give up the waterproofness factor. Now it's still windproof, so it's not, the wind's not going to cut through that jacket. But the way I looked at it is most guys aren't going to hunt when it's pouring down rain. So which is more important? I believe windproof is more important if I've got to pick one, because those cold mornings where the wind's blowing, it can freeze you out in the stand. So we chose to go with the windproofness of this particular fabric over waterproofness, which allowed us to get more of the silent. This fabric, it's also a stretchy fabric, so it's going to give you some mobility in the shoulders and the elbows whenever you're drawn down. So as far as the fleece piece that you were talking about, so again, I wanted a warm base layer and I sent them, you know, several different options and they end up sending me, you know, probably 5 or 6 different fabrics that were similar, if not exact as what I sent them. And it's just a mix of, again, trial and error. And this one's got a lot of stretch. It's warm. Like this one is, in my opinion, this fabric is the best one. And so that's how we end up landing on that particular fabric for that particular base layer.
Yeah, I really like the cuffed ankles for that. I mean, it's definitely a product that's going to be in that cold environment. I could see a lot of people like actually wanting to wear that product outside of the hunting stand or just around the house in the wintertime. It looks warm and cozy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it is.
So like when you have a product like that and you're starting from scratch, like how long does this process take from your in your head to saying, okay, this is what I want it to look like and be designed. And then you start that communication product where you get a finished product back.
You're looking, you know, I watched a podcast the other day of a guy who was with one of the bigger companies and he had exited out a while ago. And he said about 2 years, and I would say that's pretty dead on. You're looking at about 2 years. So we're coming up on 2 years right now and we've finally got, and we've got a vinyl harness that we don't have finished yet. We've got a fleece pair of bibs, a fleece jacket that we're working on. We've got another puffy jacket. In fact, samples should be arriving here within the next week of another puffy jacket. We've got another pant and another jacket that we've got coming. Yeah, you're looking about 2 years.
Wow.
From start to finish. Yeah.
I mean, that's a long process to get a return on your investment as well. Like as a business owner, like I understand, like when you're putting money in, like that's a hard pill to swallow when nothing's coming back.
Yes. No, it's very so. And I think I shared this on another podcast. We just did our taxes not too long ago and I was looking at the old account and seeing how many write-offs I've got, you know, but so before I even placed my first bulk order, I had just over $50,000 in just the research and development of this, because samples are more expensive than bulk orders. So you got to keep in mind, whenever they've got a bulk order, they're making, you know, one jacket and they're doing a bunch of them and they're running those puppies through. Yeah. But whenever they make a sample, they're shutting that factory line down for however long. They're saying, okay, guys, today we're making one jacket. And so that factory line gets shut down and now they make one jacket. And so that one jacket can be pretty costly. Samples are more expensive than when I placed the bulk order. And it's funny, you know, originally I thought, man, it'd be cool to get like some of these samples out in some guys' hands and they can do some product testing, whatever. That was going to deplete the account very, very quick if I was going to do that, because samples can be pretty costly. So I don't know if that answered the question or not.
No, it does. And because I personally, like, I was thinking, like, if I got a sample of a product, like, it's not, it wouldn't have been as bad, but having to stop a factory with that many people and that kind of job, like, it makes sense that one's going to hit the pocketbook pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today's episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by Code Blue Scents. Not only do they have an extensive lineup of deer scents and urines, but they also have some scent elimination products like laundry detergent, field spray, and everything else you need. So before you get started with your hunt this season, be sure to check out Code Blue Scents. So product line-wise, what's available on the website is limited, but there's a lot more options coming. Like, where do you see yourself by hunting season, peak, say September 1st of this year?
Yeah. good question, man. I don't want to misspeak, because I'll be honest, when I first started this process, I thought I plan on having the website going by August of last year. Like, that in my mind, I'm thinking we're going to have a product of, you know, I thought we'd have what we have now by August of last year, and people would have it this last fall. I'm still learning timelines, because factories, again, you got to keep in mind, whenever you send them something, they're currently working on somebody else's stuff. They may have a large bulk order of some other company or whatever that they're working on, and then they get your stuff. It's like, okay, we'll work you in the mix when we got a chance. And so you may wait a month, 2 months, whatever, however long it is. And then it's like, okay, now we can work on his one sample. And then they shut, you know, then they work on your one sample. Then they send it back to you. You've got, you know, 2 weeks before you get it at best. Then you've got to look through it, test it out. No, it doesn't fit right here. We need to change, you know, some fitting here. We need to move a zipper down 2 inches or whatever. So you make the notes, you do all this, you send them the email. You know, typically I do a video and I even run down the whole garment, try to make it as clear as possible and say, hey, this zipper needs to be 2 inches longer, whatever. And so then you send that back to them. And again, you fall back in the lineup. It's like, okay, well, we'll get to your sample again when we get time. So I guess to answer your question, I'm hoping that we will have our fleece bibs and our fleece jacket. We're still testing out different fabrics right now. I'm hoping we will have a fleece jacket and fleece bibs. We should definitely, I say, see, whenever you use words like definitely, you know, you kind of put yourself in a hole. So there shouldn't be any reason why we shouldn't have, so the vest that we currently have, our buck brush vest, there's no reason why we shouldn't have a pant and a jacket in that same fabric. And then we should also have another puffy jacket. It's going to be more of your standard puffy jacket. It's going to be the noisy, windproof, water-resistant fabric that everybody's familiar with when it comes to puffy jackets. And we're probably going to have that in solids, because there's been a lot of guys wanting some solids too. So I'm trying to please everybody, and it's not always easy to do. And it's not even possible. But so I'm trying to get some solids in the mix as well. So we're going to do a puffy jacket. I'm not going to release the name of that, but we'll have probably a dark chocolate and probably an olive green color in that. So I would say two solid colors of a puffy jacket, a kind of your soft shell pant, your soft shell jacket's going to have side vents in it, probably have vents in the armpits of that. And like I said, I'm really wanting to get that, the fleece pair of bibs and fleece jacket, because that's something I personally want myself as well.
Right.
So hopefully we'll have that by this fall, if not for sure by next fall. And like I said, there's still stuff that there's lots more to come. I want to do it all with the exception of maybe boots.
Well, I'll give you an example of a company that is in the same space that you are, and they went and put in boots, but they're a very large company, and right, they brought boots to market, and you know, these high end boots and the price tags on them. And they lost so much money off of those boots because of the sizing, and the people, they made good product. The problem was, I would order X size. It would come in and be like, doesn't fit, ship them back. back and forth, back and forth. Then people cancel orders. They just get aggravated. They quit making boots. And and that's a dominant player in our industry. And they just said, you know what? We got a great product. We're just not doing boots anymore.
Right.
So, so be careful with boots.
Sizing in general. I mean, sizing in general is just, I'm realizing that is an issue. So, you know, we've been to two trade shows now, and there's a lot of bigger guys. I mean, I didn't realize how many big guys are in the whitetail space. And you know, we didn't offer a triplet. So we sold out of the Arctic fleece top that you're talking about, the heavy Sherpa fleece base layer. So we sold out of double XLs in that in no time. Cause I didn't order enough of them. I don't know what to order yet. Cause I'm just getting started in this. Now, obviously as people start placing orders, I'm going to start getting a better idea of who my customer base is and who wants this stuff. But we sold that in double XLs almost immediately. I think we might have one vest in a 2XL left. I don't have any 3XL. I didn't order any 3XLs at all. And there was plenty of guys that could have wore a 3XL, even some probably a 4XL. And so, and that's not even counting pant sizes. I mean, you get waist and inseam sizes, and that's even more of a headache. At least with jackets, you've got small, medium, large, XL, you know.
Yeah.
But you start to get into waist and inseam sizes, and now it's even more of a nightmare. And so it's nothing that I'm not, you know, that I'm not willing to tackle. You know, like I said, there's a reason. I don't know if I mentioned it to you earlier, but like the website right now, I'm having guys send me DMs and tell me what their waist and inseam size is and are they a bigger guy? Because these particular pants may run a touch tight in the thighs and a little bit big in the waist. Now, the next bulk order, we're going to get that corrected. It's a minor adjustment, but I want to make sure people have gear that fits them good, especially starting out as a company. Like I can't have bad feedback, you know, I can't have people off and upset. And so, pant sizing is definitely going to be a learning curve for us. But you know, I'm up for the challenge and we'll figure it out as we go. So.
Yeah. I mean, have you run into a challenge that you just sit back and be like, is this worth it? Like, should we just call it what it is and just be like, all right, this ain't working out.
well, obviously not, because I'm still doing it, I guess. But I've certainly had days where the thought was there to just throw in the towel and quit. But I'll be honest, at the same token, when that time came, though, I also looked at how much money I had invested into this. And I'm thinking, there's no way I can tell my wife that I'm just going to quit now. Like, I'm too deep in. You know, like, and so, you know, and I've probably had, I would say probably three of those days. But what it is, like I said, it's because I'm so deep in it financially, that my wife is like, no, you have to see this through, you know, like she's going to hold me accountable because we've depleted the old accounts and now you've got to see this through. But it's like anything in life that you may have a situation in your life, and we're just talking about clothing, and there's a lot more difficult situations in life than that. I mean, we're not even talking about cancer, but I think everybody has those days where you feel overwhelmed, like you can't go on, whether that's with your life in general or whether that's with, you know, a company or a product that you've started. But give it a couple days and then you'll start to realize, you know what? I think I can do this. Maybe it's not that bad. It was just one particular day where everything just fell right. And there were just a lot of things that just didn't go right on that particular day. And you felt like thrown in the towel, but you pick yourself back up and it's like, I think we can do this. I think we can do it. And you just keep plugging away. And then 5 days later, you're back at woohoo. Yeah. Well, let's go at it, you know, and you're amped up, ready to go. And you know, I think everybody has those days, regardless of what you do in life. It's just what you choose to handle, I think, how you choose to handle that particular circumstance. So, yeah, I mean, I've had those days, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit anytime soon.
Yeah, so I can't remember how that old saying goes. It's like the measure of a man. The measure of a man is not necessarily like what he does or how he performs, but basically how he handles himself in a crisis and how you respond in that situation. But at the end of the day, like having a partner at home that has your back and supports you on this dream makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So like there's a reason why I'm sitting here doing this podcast with you right now is because I have that partner at home who supports me in chasing my dreams. And it sounds like you've got the same.
Yeah. Oh, she's a rock star, dude. She's awesome. Yeah. So I'm an extrovert. She's an introvert, and she doesn't like the camera whatsoever. So I'm still going to film her hunt whenever she hunts. She just doesn't like me on camera. She's a real private person. Like, you know, obviously I'm on social media and I'm constantly posting stuff, whatever. That's not her. She's the complete opposite of me. And that's probably why we fit so well. You're going to be very rare to, she's, I don't even know how comfortable she is about me posting like her grip and grin pictures. You know, when she does kill a deer, like she knows that's part of the business. And so I think she just kind of just goes with the flow. But at the end of the day, I think she'd rather not have her face out there on social media. You know, she's just a very quiet, but dude, she's a rock star. I mean, yeah, she's awesome. I mean, I couldn't do this by myself. I don't think there's any way. Well, I know there's not with kids, especially not with kids. Like, she's watching the babies when I'm here pursuing my dreams, you know, like,
yep.
So yeah, there's no way I could do it with her. I mean, without her, I'm sorry. Without I couldn't her. Do it without her.
Yeah. So I couldn't agree more. And even we're chasing same dreams, but just different companies. So like, I understand how that dynamic works. And it's like, hey, I got a podcast at 12. Like, you got baby and bottle duty. Like, let's work together on that situation. So like, there's two things we haven't discussed. And I want to come back to that is at one, the name Goat Gear. Goat Gear, when I think of, I'm thinking of chasing goats in Alaska in these rugged terrain features. But then I've heard you talk all about whitetail lineup and whitetail guys. So I'm like, okay, what is Goat Gear made for right now? Like, what is your goal?
So I dream big. I mean, if you're going to dream, you might as well dream big, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, at the end of the day, I want my clothing lineup and my gear. I want to have everything that the big companies have. I mean, that's my goal at the end of the day. I want it all. And like I said, even if for nothing else, just for myself, you know, like I've got a brown bear hunt coming up here in Russia. Lord willing, we're still working out the details of that with everything that's going on there. But that should be happening here at the end of April. And so that particular hunt is going to require a different set of gear than what I even have now. And I've got those samples coming. So it's going to give me a chance to test that stuff out. But we're going to be on snowmobiles, so that's not your typical whitetail hunt, you know. So I'm going to have different gear for that hunt than I would in the whitetail woods. I want it all at the end of the day because these are all different hunts that I want to go on. I want to travel the world and bow hunt everything. So when I sat down and I looked at it, I of course, at least for me anyways, where I started was you got to start thinking of a logo, you know. And so I'm like, and you look at deer skulls and it seems like deer skulls is just something that everybody uses, you know. To me, it seems like it's overused. And so I'm like, I don't really feel like a deer skull. And, you know, then you look at some of the other company logos that are out there and you're trying to draw some inspiration for maybe what else is out there. And then I kind of set the logo aside for a little bit. And I just started thinking, well, what about a name? Like, well, maybe I should just try to think of a name, a cool name that I'd like. And the word gear, I like the word gear in the name. And I had quite a few different options, you know, whatever gear, and, you know, maybe later I'll release some of the early phases of even the logo and the name. But I like the word gear being in the word. So then I started thinking about animals, you know, let's see, buffalo gear, no, cow gear, no, bull gear. You know, you just start, you know, just throwing out names. I don't know. This is the process. You're getting the rough and raw version here. Then I just thought, well, what's my bucket list? What are some species of animals that I haven't hunted yet? And one of those was an ibex. There's a Bezoar ibex that I want to bow hunt. You can find them in Turkey, and I think there's like three countries you can find those in. Beautiful, beautiful ibex. They've got these giant sweeping horns, and they've got big knobs on them. And there's all kinds of ibex. They've got an alpine ibex. They've got a Nubian ibex. There's all kinds of different species of ibex. A Nubian ibex, they've got knots, and the knots are really tight together. Whereas the Bezoar ibex, the knots are spaced out more. And that's the one that I really want to kill. So I just started researching that animal a little more. And you find out the ibex species, the ibex are pretty much found, you know, you've got the alpine ibex, which are in the highest peaks of the mountains. And you've got other ibex that are just kind of on more of the flat plains area of different countries. Then you look at the species, and they're part of the goat family. And so then I'm like, go. And they can pretty much go anywhere. Like this species of animal can pretty much go anywhere in the world as far as on land is concerned. Like from the Alps, from the highest Alps to the lowest valleys, you can find this animal anywhere. And so I'm like, well, that's what I want for my clothing. I want my clothing to be able to go literally anywhere. Not just the tree stand for whitetail hunters, but even the highest Alps for mountain hunters, whatever. And so then I started thinking about the word goat and goat gear, and it just sounded good when it rolled off my tongue. I'm like, goat gear. That sounds good. And so then I came up with the name goat gear. And so now it's like, well, now I've got to design a logo that fits that. And then I came back to the Ibex that kind of started it all. And then I got this idea to use his horn as a gear. And so the first half of the logo is a goat head, and you can see the goatee in his eye and his ear. And then the second portion of it is an actual gear, like you would see, you know, on a car or something. And so then that's how the logo came about, goat gear.
Yeah. So it's funny you use the gear, because I've got hunting gear deals, and I've got a gear with a deer in the middle of it. So
gotcha.
Those kind of relate a little bit to that. So I was kind of curious, like, if the goal of this was to make that rugged backcountry style clothing, or was it to broadcast and have just a little bit of everything for any occasion? So it sounds like it's where you're at. You want a little a lineup that can suit everything and have everything in between. So
right. I mean, yeah, start now. I mean, now, again, I'm a whitetail hunter. I live in Kansas, so that's right here in my backyard. And I do feel the whitetail people have been overlooked. I feel like everybody's kind of chased the Western hunter, and it's like, I kind of want to make whitetail hunting cool again, you know, and I want to make some gear. I want to start with the whitetail guys first. Now, then I'm going to expand and broaden that, and then obviously really come out with some Western gear, and we'll do tents and sleeping bags and all that. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a mixture, I guess, of whitetail, but still kind of a mix of, you can take this stuff out West too.
As a business side of it, like, to not start with whitetail would probably just hinder you on your growth, because the majority of hunters are whitetail hunters.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I wanted a solid base. I'm like, the whitetail industry is what pushes the rest of it. You know, more people hunt whitetails than any other species, so I might as well start there. And after all, I live in Kansas, so why not?
So I was walking a show. You did some trade shows this year, and several years ago, I was walking the trade floor with this director of, I think, marketing or vice president of marketing for this large company. And they made Western related clothing. And he said, we will never have a whitetail lineup. And I'm like, why? He's like, we want to educate people on the fact that you can use this gear anywhere. I'm like, that makes sense. I was like, whitetail hunters want whitetail. They want to know that when they buy whitetail clothes or gear, it's for whitetails. Like, they're not
right.
We're pretty simple. Like, just spell it out for us. So you fast forward 4 or 5 years, guess who has a whitetail lineup now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I know the company you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I told him when we were walking, I was like, yeah, that's not going to work. Like, you can try to educate, but at the end of the day, like, you got to spell it out. And now every time I look at it, I'm like, told you so.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, having that product geared towards that whitetail hunter will be a great foundation as you grow this and expand it, because you're going to take that same whitetail gear out. If you only hunt out West once a year, once every 5 years, you're probably not going to go buy all brand new gear. You're going to be able to find that versatile piece that you can do both with.
Right. Right. So, yeah. And that's what we tried to start with, was the versatile piece.
Yep. Now the camouflage pattern, you said you dreamed as a child, like, hey, you wanted to have your own camo. Did you want to design clothing like when you were playing with Barbies as a kid, or was you want camo?
Yeah. So I didn't play with Barbies. No, I didn't play with Barbies. My dad wouldn't allow that. I can promise you that. But no, I didn't play. And it's yeah. Here's funny. I'm in the clothing space, and I was just telling my wife, I'm like, does this make me less of a man that I work on clothing? You know, no. So clothing, I never really wanted to design, at least not when I was young. But I will say, so I'll give you a particular example. So I've got, and I've bought all the company's bino harnesses. I own every one that every company makes. But it was without fail. And my wife, she would just know the standard procedure. Whenever I would get a new bino harness in, I would just hand it to her and say, here you go, honey. And she knew automatically what that meant. And that meant she had to sew on a little D-loop ring on the strap right here so I could clip my rangefinder to it and hang my rangefinder, because that's how I always wore my rangefinder.
Yeah.
So it was things like that where I would make small modifications to other people's products. And I'm like, man, I feel like they could just do this a little bit better. I'll give you another example. We've done it with, and we're going to do it with most of our jackets. So another thing is all the companies make their jackets, their big game jackets, with chest pockets. The zippers are right here in the center of the chest.
Yep.
Well, I polled my Instagram people and 80% of them are wearing bino harnesses, which I wear one as well. Well, the bino harness sits right there in the center of your chest and you can't access those zippers.
That makes
and
sense.
So I've got the expensive gear like everybody else has got. But it's like, why do you put this thing in zippers right here? Like, I wear a bino harness and I can't get in the stupid thing. So why don't you just take those zippers and just move them out to the sides? Well, nobody's doing this. Well, it's real easy to just sew on a piece of fabric to clip my rangefinder on, but it's a lot more difficult to take zippers out and then move them out to the sides. So things like that, I just see little things like that. I'm like, you know, I don't know if I would say they're game changing, but it's just the little details that some of these companies are missing out on, I believe. And so I'm like, man, if I could just design my own, like, I feel like I could make a better jacket.
So you talk about those zipper placements. When I looked at that puffy jacket that you've got there, my first thought process, like, why is it? Like, I'm sitting here trying to see my angle, and I'm like, all right, there's got to be a reason. So I'm glad you said, like, that makes perfect sense. Like, I don't, for one, wear bino harness because I'm not hunting Kansas. Like, a lot of the places I'm hunting, I can't see past bow range. So I don't need binos for the most part. I just needed a rangefinder, but that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, so we've, and from what I know, and I don't know if, I mean, from all, I mean, I've looked at every company, nobody that I know of is doing that. I've seen some waterfowl jackets that they've got hand warmer pockets on the sides.
Yep.
But I've never seen a big game jacket where they're taking those zippers and moving them to the outside. So as far as I know, we've got the industry first, what we're calling our bino compatible chest pockets.
Ooh, smart. I like the way you said that.
So thank you. So, and we're going to incorporate that on probably most of our jackets. Now, our vest, we didn't do it with our vest. You know, there'll be some pieces that we do and some pieces we don't. And because, again, I'm trying to fit everybody's needs. Like you said, you don't wear a bino harness. And I know there's still some guys that don't. Right. So we're going to try to make as much gear as we can to fit as many people as we can. But it's just little things like that. You know, you asked about clothing, designing clothing. I think it just came out of a necessity for myself. Like, man, I wish somebody would take those stupid zippers and move them out here. And so, like I said, we were at a point where we had enough money in the account where we were looking at buying some land. And then this other thing happened. And it's like, well, I guess we got some money. Why don't we just dump it into a clothing company? And here we are.
Hey, invest in yourself and see what you can come out with.
Yeah. Maybe land will come later.
Yeah. Oh, it will. You have success with this. And then hopefully you can turn that into something else later the road. The camouflage pattern itself. So is that a goat gear only pattern? That's something you made, or is that something you're leasing out?
So that's something that I made. That's everything you see I've done, other than stitching the clothing together, from designing the logo to the name to everything. The camouflage pattern, I think I've got 160 hours into designing that. So I just pulled up, so again, I found a place where I was at a standstill and I needed this company to make a camouflage pattern. And that's what they do. They make camouflage patterns. I mean, they're one of their smaller companies. I think they were going to kind of make, like, I was going to give you my ideas and say, well, I like this company's pattern here, or this company's pattern. And they've already got a bunch of patterns as well. And they were just going to make, like, I think, like, three mock-ups. And then we're going to kind of all decide and figure out which one we wanted to pick. But I was at a standstill and I couldn't get a hold of anybody to start designing a camouflage pattern. So I'm like, well, I'm sitting around the house just doing nothing. I guess I'll just pull up Adobe Photoshop and just start drawing. And so I just start designing, you know, and I look at other people's company. You know, I look at all the camo patterns that are out there. And I even pulled my Instagram people and say, who makes, in your opinion, who makes the best camo pattern there is? What do you want to see? Do you want it more open? Do you want it more closed? Do you want a big dark blob? Do you want more open spaces? Whatever. And so based off of all that feedback, I just sat down and I start putting together what I think everybody wants. And like I said, 150, 160 hours later, I landed on this particular design and I've already got the next five camo patterns already ready to go.
Holy cow. Five patterns.
Yeah. So once I figured out how to get, the biggest thing was to get, you've got to get the top edge of this, you know, think about designing a square. You've got to get the top edge to match the bottom edge. So when you take that square, and then you stack it on top of each other, these two have to line up. And then also the right edge and the left edge, they also have to line up too. So when you stack it together, it's seamless. There's no, you can't see a, yeah, you can't see any seam at all.
Makes sense.
And so once I figured out how to do that and how to, and I still wouldn't say I've got it mastered, but that was the hardest part of the whole pattern. But finally, once I figured out how to get that, I just, my mind just started going crazy. I'm like, I'm just going to start designing. And so then I just start designing, and I mean, I enjoy it. It's a lot of hours, but it's been enjoyable hours. You know, so people are like, man, that's a lot of work. It's like, not if you enjoy it, you know, it's actually kind of fun.
Yep.
So yeah. So I've got the next five ready to go. Now we're not going to roll them out all at once, you know? But yeah, so give it 3 years here and we'll probably roll out another one. So yeah, it's just, like I said, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of time and a lot of money, but it's been a lot of fun.
Hey, let me interrupt this podcast episode real quick and talk about huntinggeardeals.com. If you're interested in saving money on hunting gear, there's no better place on the web. Basically, what huntinggeardeals.com does is scour the web for discounted products on hunting gear and shares them in one convenient location. So type in huntinggeardeals.com in your web browser and sign up for the daily deal email so you never miss a deal. Now, back to the show. The fact that you pull on Instagram and your followers from there through that you've acquired through years of making film and all this stuff and those relationships, and they've helped you inspire you to create this clothing brand and the intricacies that you're putting inside of it. Say, for instance, you want to make a change on this jacket, and you talked about the time frame of it, like, oh, this, I want to add an extra pocket there. Is it still that 2-year time frame to make that change or upgrade, or is it going to be quicker?
Oh, it'd be a lot quicker then. Okay. Yeah. So once you've established kind of your base, and now that your factory knows what fit you're going for, we're kind of right now we're looking at kind of more of an athletic fit. Now I'm realizing pretty early on I may have to change some of that, or at least offer, you know, a different version than an athletic fit. Now for me, I designed it based off of my fit. I mean, it just makes sense. Why would you design clothes that don't fit you personally, you know, if you own the company? Yeah. So I just made it an athletic fit. And like I said, I'm realizing there's a lot of bigger guys in this space that right now my clothing probably wouldn't fit. And so I'm like, well, I don't want them to not have it either. So maybe at some point, but there's so much though, and it just costs so much money to just order all this stuff. So at some point I'm realizing I may have to have like two specific even fits. So I may have the same jacket, but that jacket's going to fit two different ways. So you may order a large, but you may get you've got big and tall, for example. There's some guys too, that they're just some big boys, like football players, like they ain't fat. They just big, you know, I'm talking 6'7". You know, it's hard to get a guy 6'7" to fit any jacket, you know.
You look at the former UFC champion, Tim Sylvia.
Right, exactly.
He's a big man, and he's not the only one out there running around in the woods, hunting out of tree stands and on the ground or whatever.
Yeah. So again, I want to try to take care of my customers the best I can. It's just, it's going to be so hard to try to please everybody. And so, like I said, I'm still early on in this process, and we're going to be making adjustments as we go. You know, we'll be making adjustments probably for the next 10 years, you know, just on the fly constantly. Oh, we need to make a few, we need to come out with a different size. You know, I've had a bunch of women asking if I'm going to have women's clothing. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like at some point, yes, I want to have women's clothing. I had quite a few people asking about children's clothing. I'm like, at some point, yes, I also want children's clothing too, but I just started. I'm just like, if you knew how much money this stuff took to bring to life, like I would have loved to have just rolled out, you know, 500 SKUs of different pieces and had children's and women's and men's, but my pocketbooks just weren't that deep. You're looking at millions of dollars, and I don't have that. You know,
and then you got to sell it. Like, you got to be able to recoup that as well.
Yeah. And then you've got to sell it. Yeah. And you've got to not only sell it, you've got to have a place to store it.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a ton of inventory that you've got to store and keep mice out of it. It's not like you just throw it in the garage, you know?
No.
Like, no,
you
so,
have a climate controlled storage that is airtight, watertight.
Yes. And so it's a lot larger undertaking than what people realize, which I don't fault them, because they're not in the space. They're not really thinking about that. They're just thinking, well, I want some clothes because I'm a girl. Do you have a girl's fit? Right now, I don't. Order a small. That's the best I can do. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, at least you offer a small. A lot of companies don't offer a small.
Right. Well, and that's why I offered a small. Because, again, I've got a wife who hunts. And so I know, well, first off, I just don't want her on camera shooting an animal with some other, you know, somebody else's camo
on. Exactly.
So I'm like, so I'm going to have some smalls at least for her, just for the promotion of it. But, yeah, it's like, again, you look at the space and – the largest people in this space are men. So I've got to build that solid foundation. If I'm going to go after a particular audience, I'm going to go after the larger audience just because that's what's got to get the money coming in so I can grow this. And so we can come up with a women's line later. And so we can come up with a kids line later. You know, I know one of the big companies in the space too, they came out with a kids line at a certain point, but now you see they no longer offer children's clothing. Yep. And they're a big player.
I can probably name who you're talking about.
Right. And so, and there's probably a reason for that. Again, I haven't crossed those bridges yet, but there's probably a reason for that. Maybe it wasn't worth their time and investment in that. Because again, you've got a whole new product and development that goes into that. You're looking at another 2-year ordeal to design one jacket for a kid. And there's
and
a lot
they're
of
going to outgrow by the end of the
season. Yeah, there's a lot of money that's going into the design of that jacket. A lot of money and time going into that one jacket for a kid who's going to outgrow that in 1 year. Yep. So they may have figured out this isn't worth our time and money to do this. As much as people want it selfishly for themselves and their kids, from a company standpoint, it may not be worth the time. I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when it comes. Hopefully we can cross that bridge. We'll see.
Oh, absolutely.
That means we're growing if we do.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward as a podcast that being able to lay here with the foundation as this company starts to grow and then check back in next year and be like, this is where we were. Here's where we're at today. And just seeing the growth through the years of how Goat Gear goes from a little kid's dream to, hey, we're going to jump in. And then to see how this transitions through the years and to see where we're at. I hope that the next time I'm on the trade show circuit, I walk up to your booth and I'm like, hey, man, you got a whole product line here.
Right. Yeah.
So and I get to try it all.
Hopefully we're not having a podcast of the fall of Goat Gear. And it's like, so how does it feel to go bankrupt and not pay your bills? And hopefully that's not the podcast.
Well, the more podcasts that you do, the more people's going to hear about it. And hopefully our listeners are going to listen and be like, hey, why wouldn't I support somebody that's chasing his dreams in this industry, putting the time and 2 years to design a product for me to enhance my hunting experience? Why wouldn't I give that product a chance?
So I hope my boys hope so too. I
guarantee it.
I got two little boys to feed, you know, I'll take all the empathy I can get. So,
yeah. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that excitement. Is there anything about Goat Gear that we didn't cover that you're like, hey, this story or this product or anything like that the audience should know right now about this brand?
No, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I would say, and it's really not necessarily specific to Goat Gear. This is just something that I want for everybody. I made a DVD years ago, a waterfowl DVD, and I'm a dreamer. I've always been a dreamer, and I realize not everybody's that way, and that's fine. But man, if you've got a dream, I don't care what it is. If it's start a clothing company or, I don't know, start some gym or, I don't know, whatever crazy idea you might have in your head, chase it, man. Pursue it. Now, take care of your family. There are times, too, I think, where we as men, we can chase our dreams at the expense of our family, and we're not taking care of our family, and we can deplete funds, and now all of a sudden we're not paying bills, and now the family's stressed, and so there's a balance there that we have to weigh. We can't just chase our dreams at the expense of our family. We still got to take care of our base and make sure that they're taken care of. But other than that, man, I think people would be shocked at what they could actually accomplish if they just started to put one step in front of the other and just start chipping away. Like I said, that's been 2 years to get to what we see here, and I thought the day would never come, to be honest, but now here we are, and I've actually got a product and the website just launched this morning, and I've already got orders coming in, and I'm like, wow, God, maybe we're going to be okay. Maybe we might actually sell some clothes and be able to pay the bills and put some money back in the bank account because Lord knows it's low. And, you know, like it's very, I've been up since 3 this morning. Okay. Just FYI. So if I get emotional, it's because of that. You just never know what you're capable of if you don't push the limits. And you never know what God has in store for you if you don't just ride on faith sometimes and just take a chance. And if you're going to take a chance on yourself. That's all I would say.
Man, it's beautifully spoken from the heart, from somebody that is in the situation that you're in right now, and you've got your trust in the right spot for that foundation. You talked about having the whitetail line up as your foundation. You and I both know where that foundation lies, and that's with God. So I think you're on the right track to succeed, regardless of whether you sell any more clothing today. Heck, you might log off of this podcast and look and be like, honey, right. We're going to pull an all-nighter tonight to fill orders.
Right. So, right.
And I hope when this hope the podcast launches and that's the case and it just never slows down for you, man.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I do. Thank you.
All right, folks, that's all for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. As always, check out huntinggeardeals.com for more information.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.